Thank you. Good morning, everybody. We'll start with an open session. I'm called to order. I'm welcome you to the Board of Directors meeting. The Altus School is a San Diego nonprofit board which operates Altus Schools, Lodeo, and Altus Schools Charter School of San Diego. I'm Len Herring, Chairman of the Board, and I will facilitate this meeting. We will first take a roll call. When I call your name, please provide with a response. I don't think there's anybody new, so we don't need to do those introductions, and I don't see anybody on the public side. So I am here. Scott is excused. David?
I am glad to be here.
Tim?
Present.
And Eric?
Present.
Good morning, Eric. Mary, is there anybody new that you would like to introduce to the board or the members present?
I could be missing it, but I don't see anybody. They all look new and shiny as pennies. They look great, but no, I don't think so. I don't
Yeah,
think
happy.
anyone. Tim, am I missing anybody? No, I don't think so. Everybody knows everybody.
I guess this is a happy 2024 because this is our first meeting of the year.
Oh, that's right. That's
Right?
right.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I get lost in the weeds. And there's Paul Minnie, our attorney. He's always looking happy.
Okay.
So we're good.
Good. 1.3 is establishment of the quorum. We'll now establish a quorum. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 1.3?
Motion to approve, Green.
Thank you. May I have a second?
Second, Morton.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Myself, Scott is excused. David,
Aye.
Tim,
Aye.
and Eric.
Aye.
Very good. We have completed. Next is item 1.4, Pledge of Allegiance. If you would please stand and I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. Moving on to item 1.5, the approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 1.5 with any recommendation from Mary?
You have, Mary, any recommendations?
None.
You have my
Okay.
motion. You have my motion.
Thank you. May I have a second?
Second, Morton.
Thank you. We'll now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott's excused. David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Very good. Moving on to item 2.0, public comment. Public comment for items of interest to the public and within the scopes of the Altus Schools of San Diego non-agenda shall be no longer than 2 minutes. Public comment for agenda items shall be no longer than 3 minutes. Speakers may not yield their time. In meetings held over Zoom, any person who wishes to make a comment on either a non-agenda or agenda item shall use the raise hand feature in the Zoom to notify the board. In accordance with the Brown Act, no discussion or action may occur at this time, but it is the board's prerogative to respond or give direction to the staff. All public comment will be heard at this point in the agenda as ordered below. Each agenda item being committed on will have a maximum of 20 minutes allotted, and each of the non-agenda items will have a maximum of 10 minutes allotted. If necessary, I may equivocally decrease the time for each speaker in order to stay within the allotted maximum. Item 2.1 is the non-agenda public comments. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items not on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to a total of 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by myself. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on items not on the agenda? Hearing none and seeing no raised hands. Yeah, seeing no raised hands, we'll move on to item 2.2, which is agenda for public comment. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on items that do appear on the agenda. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes unless otherwise modified by myself. Speakers may not yield their time. Are there any public comments on the agenda items?
Not that we know of, no.
Hearing nothing and seeing no raised hands, we'll move on to item 3.0, which is closed session. We will now move to closed session to address the following three items. This is not three items, 2.1. Conference with legal counsel on anticipated litigation, significant exposure to litigation pursuant to paragraph 2 or 3 of subdivision D, section 5495.6.9, one case. Okay. This is an opportunity for members of the public to speak to the board on closed session item 3.2.1. Speakers will be limited to 3 minutes per speaker, and this item is limited to 20 minutes total unless otherwise modified by myself. Is there any comment from the public or members here? Hearing none, seeing no raised hands, we will move forward. The board will now go into closed session. Time 0840.
Board Chair, just one comment. Angela, when we move into closed session, if someone could make me a co-host so I could share my screen. Thank you.
Okay. All right, here we are. Everybody back? We'll check in just a minute. We're now resuming open session. Time is 9:06. I can report that no action was taken in the closed session. Item 5.0, administrative items. As to the agenda, item 5.1 regarding the board's consideration of approval of amendments to the employment agreement of Chief Business Officer, Chief Financial Officer, Treasurer, and Founding Director, I would note that the amendments are solely limited to update the health benefits to keep up with the cost of benefits, which is regulated by the State Insurance Commission. All other terms and conditions of this position employment agreement would remain the same. I recommend approval. Do I have a motion for approval of item 5.1?
A motion to approve.
Any discussion? Okay. Well, we have a second.
Second, Morton.
Very good. Thank you. We now conduct a call. Myself, aye. Scott is excused. David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Okay. Item 5.2 is California Fair Political Practices Commission Statement of Economic Interest, Form 700 Annual Filing. This is informational item and a reminder for all to file their Form 700. Deadline for the county is April the 3rd. The San Diego County Clerk of Board has sent an email to the directions of each of the board members to file their Form 700 electronically via the e-disclosure system. Please contact Angela Neary if you have any assistance or need any assistance prior to April the 3rd. Item 5.3, governance parental representative posting. 2024-25 on respective school websites and resource centers, January 9th, 2024, deadline to submit applications, April 8th, 2024. Item 5.3.1 is Altus Schools Aldeo. I'm sure people have looked at that. And 5.3.2 is the Altus Schools Charter Schools of San Diego. This is an annual publication for vacant parent board representatives. Again, no action is required by the boards for information only. Items 5.4, Superintendent of School Services and Founder Report. 5.4.1 is the school's outreach. 5.4.2 is all the school dashboard outcome 2023-24 presentation by Aaron Smith. And 5.4.3 is annual update of the Local Control and Accountability Plan, or LCAP. And the local control and funding formula budget overview of parents presentation by Tim Tuner. Item 5.3.1 is the Altus Schools Ordeo, and 5.4.3.2 is the Altus Charter Schools of San Diego. Mary, is there a staff report for items 5.4.1 through 5.4.3.2?
You're on mute, Mary.
There we go. Sorry. So for 5.4.1, in terms of school outreach, I wanted to share that during the recent flooding that occurred here in San Diego, we had 16 families that were dramatically impacted. And that was very upsetting, certainly to the families, the kids, and the teachers and staff. And they were so wonderful about doing whatever they could to help them through this very difficult period. And so I just wanted to make the board aware that we have been not only working on an individual basis, teachers trying to keep their education going, but also as a school, Amy Butler, our outreach person, the person that would be dealing with community groups, has been trying to support them in any way that we can. Item 5.4.2 has been something that I've been very anxious to put on the board agenda. And I've advised Aaron Smith, who is the one within the school that is responsible for collecting all our data, analyzing it, and putting it out in a way that's timely, accurate, and usable for the organization. It's, as you know, the board is responsible not only for compliance and financial solvency, but most importantly, instructional outcomes. And so I would like to take this opportunity. It is about 25 minutes. It'll be the major portion of the board meeting, but it's critical that you are made aware of our data. We have people that are online. The teachers are familiar with this data. It's been presented to them many times. So thank you for sitting through it again. That's your troopers. But Catherine's here. She's curriculum and professional development. Dean Rambo, excuse me, yeah, as we call her, Dean, and Tim Tudor, who heads up teaching and learning. So if there's any follow-up questions, we're here prepared to answer them. Aaron, could you begin, please?
Sorry. Angela, can you be sure I have permissions to share my screen? There we go. Can I get a thumbs up if everyone can see?
Can't see your screen, no. It's coming. There we go.
All right. Okay. So what I'm presenting today is the 2023 Alta Schools Dashboard Outcomes. So start with the California School Dashboard is the accountability system for the state of California that reflects multiple measures. The first year that the California Schools Dashboard was in effect was 2017. So they released the dashboard in 2017, 2018, and 2019. Then as a result of the pandemic, the dashboard was suspended in 2020 and in 2021. In 2022, the dashboard resumed as a status only. And now for 2023, the state of California released the dashboard on December 15th. And we're back to the status and change model for the dashboard. So what that means is there are five performance levels that range from very low to very high in the state of California. For some of those, the target is very high, such as for English learner progress, graduation rate, college and career indicator, and the academic English and math indicators. And then for two of the indicators, very low is the high performance level, which is chronic absenteeism and suspension rate. And so those are the measures that the state releases on the California dashboard for all public schools, charter and non-charter, DOS, which is each of the Alta schools, and non-DOS. Additionally, as DOS charter schools in California, we also have some alternative metrics which are in the memorandums of understanding with our authorizing districts for those that have been established. And so, those measures also, I'll be sharing some of those as well. And these are the measures that are actually considered to be the primary measures when we go up for renewal for each of our charter schools, during those renewal cycles. So the first measure that we're going to go over is chronic absenteeism. So a quick review, chronic absenteeism is the state's engagement measure for students in grades kindergarten through grade eight. And so that what it means to be chronically absent is if a student exceeds 10% of the school days, they're considered chronically absent. At Alta Schools, we have a 175-day calendar. So if a student was enrolled the entire school year, if they reached 18 or more days of absence, that student would be in the grade kindergarten to grade eight, then that student would be considered chronically absent for the year. On this measure, most of our schools have dashboard outcome of blue or green. The exception of one of our schools, green and orange, is where it has a medium performance. And then if they have a band, if a school's variance is more than 0.5% going up, then it moves you one to the left. So a medium performance level would be 5% to 10% based on the state's measure. So you can see that Deo Valley Charter had a 6.8%, which is the medium, but because they increased by 0.9%, which in that school's case is literally one student, then they move from a yellow to an orange. We work closely with our staff and our teachers to understand the importance of student outcomes right down to the individual student level. On a few of the measures that we're reviewing today, a one student can be the difference on the state dashboard, moving you from one color band to another. And so that's one of the cases here. Here for a charter school of San Diego, you can see that charter school of San Diego declined. They were at 5.1%. That's considered the medium range, but because they declined, they were able to move from yellow to green. And so the state rewards schools for continuous improvement with the way they design the status and change on the state dashboard. Now, some context is important. And so what I want to share with you is if we aggregate all of the Alta schools over the years, the chronic absenteeism for the last 5 years, you can see that we've consistently been able to reduce chronic absenteeism year by year. And this most recently, collectively, we have a 4.3%, which would be considered low for the state. And we wanted to just kind of show the context. Statewide for all students in 2022-2023, the chronic absenteeism rate was 24%. Okay. And that did go down. Can
I interrupt you there for a moment, Aaron?
Yes.
Very important, because that's almost 25% of the students in California, almost a quarter of the students in California were found to be chronically absent. That's amazing. And you'll note, we bring Alta schools together and we look at the data together, but we also work separately with each school. Each school is unique in its own community, but for our purposes, we're lumping them all together as we go through this data. You'll note San Diego Unified's at 26.3. These other schools are districts that are nearby or we are authorized by. There is one school in particular at the bottom that we've included. It is the only other non-classroom based charter in San Diego Unified School District. And it's associated with a conversion school, with a school. And this is I don't know if this is a conversion charter, but it's a charter attached to a traditional school, high school. So it's dramatic, as you can see, that's 84.4%.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Aaron.
Now, here I want to show the context of, as DOS schools, students, our schools work with, have a student population of 70% or higher of, one of, 13 different categories, that the state has identified. And in the San Diego County, there are 56 DOS schools. In San Bernardino County, there are 48 and 37 in Riverside County. While not every school receives an outcome on every measure, we wanted to share for context purposes the our schools' rankings in their respective counties among the DOS schools in those counties. So you can see that every one of our schools in the counties where they operate is among the top schools on in performance on chronic absenteeism, meaning, you know, successfully keeping those kindergarten to eighth grade students engaged in their learning. And so you just make sure that, you know, everyone's aware of the sort of the context and for those our performance. So the next measure here we have is the suspension rate. So suspension rate is on the dashboard. It's also in our MOUs. And so every one of our schools has maintained both pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, you know, exceptionally low, most years 0% or in a very small decimal on suspension rate. And so all these, you know, each school, all charter schools San Diego, all the schools Audeo Charter, and the other schools that we have a blue performance level on the dashboard. But I want to provide additional context in the environment of the state of California. And Alta schools collectively had a suspension rate of 0.06%. You can see the rates for the similar schools within San Diego, San Bernardino, Riverside counties, as well as statewide. What that means is in across the millions of students in California public schools, you'd have a 1 in 29 chance of being suspended. That's essentially one student in every class experiencing suspension. In Alta schools, that's 1 in 1,700. That means that mathematically, Alta schools have a suspension rate 98% lower than California public schools as a whole. Next item we want to review is the state's dashboard result in mathematics. And so you can see where we were, you know, that we recognize this in our instructional plan as an area of focus. And you can see that six of our schools declined slightly in mathematics distance from standard. Two of the schools increased. You can see that, by showing improvement, it does change the dashboard color. And so they want the state incentivizes continuous improvement.
Wait, before you go on, I think it's important to note that since the COVID loss of learning across the county and the state, the students that we had at the time during COVID demonstrated no loss of learning at all, but they have transferred back to other schools or graduated, and now we are receiving the students from traditional sites, and they have demonstrated a significant loss of learning. So we are dealing with their experiences during COVID, and we are working to try to reverse that. So that red is due, not that math across the country is doing very well. It's a great concern of ours, and we've emphasized it for several years now. But we're receiving students that are consistently lower and lower in terms of achievement. Is that right, Aaron?
So that's right. On average, our students are enrolling three grade levels behind in mathematics. And of course, the grade levels that take CASP are third through eighth and 11th graders. So for our students who tested in spring of 2023, they we're experiencing the pandemic when they were in third, fourth, and fifth grade. And now we're trying to help get them back on track now that they're, sixth, seventh, eighth grade. But, you know, that experience continues to have an impact on those students. Now,
I think there was someone here. Yeah.
Question quick.
Sure.
Recognizing that a significant number of our students are considered at-risk students, How does that play with the percentage differences? I mean, when you start below grade level, any increase is still not going to be isn't going to result in the numbers that are necessary for you to get there, and compare it to students who are not at below grade level.
Right.
That's true. That's exactly true. And the state and districts are becoming more oriented to growth. And so what we look at, and I believe it's in the data that you'll be seeing, we look at measuring the growth from the time they come to us over a period of time.
Per student.
Yes, individual students.
Okay. And that answers my question, because it's, to me, it's more important that we measure a student's growth than how well we're fixing the problem of the public school system who dumps their less than average student on the charter school and then uses the same metric to measure their achievements, which is, to me, ludicrous.
Well, that's true to a certain degree, Admiral Herring. Remember, our design is to deal with students at risk. So
yeah,
in spite of what, you know, has trans, what has happened over the COVID years, nonetheless, wherever they're at, that's what we have to deal with. So we are an intervention, and yep. we want the district to utilize us. We just had a meeting with one of the school board members, and we were talking about going back to having a formal relationship as we did in the past as one of their key interventions for bringing students back up at least closer to where they should be. The model itself is practically tutorial. It's small group. It's individualized. It's personalized. That's extremely difficult to deliver in a traditional setting. So we're kind of like the great hope for those students to get them back as close as possible to where they ought to be. Okay, Aaron?
And speaking of that hope, it's important to look at our students. If they didn't enroll with us, they would have wound up at one of the other DOS schools in San Diego County or the other counties. And so this is that same mathematics performance in the context of those 56 DOS schools in San Diego County. So you can see that while we still strive for continuous improvement, our ranking, excluding other ALTA schools, five of our six San Diego County schools would have been in the top five among those 56 DOS schools in San Diego County, all in the top 10. And this is actually the criteria related to distance from standard that's in our MOU with San Diego Unified, is to exceed the state and county DOS average, which we did do in 2023 and each of the other years where CASP was administered. And then the second measure that's a math that's in our MOUs. This isn't on a dashboard, but this is the state publicly released information is proficiency, right? The percentage of students in mathematics who performed at or above grade level, or what they call at standard. And so you can see within San Diego County, all six of our schools would have been in the top three in percentage of students at or above proficiency in math, and exceeding, usually pretty much tripling the San Diego County DOS average. So this is the MOU measure, which we've exceeded at our schools for mathematics proficiency. This is the same measure on the dashboard, distance from standard for ELA, English. Six of our eight schools shown improvement, two of them have gone down. Six of our schools in the low, two of them in the medium band for performance. This is the dashboard measure. But then when we look at the context of the DOS schools in San Diego County, literally we had the top five schools in the county among those 56 DOS schools in distance from standard and math. And you can see far exceeding by like 100 points, the county DOS average and exceeding the state DOS average, which is the MOU criteria for distance from standard for English on the CASP. We also have a percent proficient item on the MOUs for renewal. And again, you can see looking at the percent proficient in ELA, each of our San Diego schools being in the top 10 among the DOS schools and far above the San Diego County DOS average, which excludes our schools 4% proficient in ELA. Now, just for context, you know, we also have a school in San Bernardino County, Mira Secondary, which was number one in ELA, both in distance from standard and percent above, percent at or above standard for San Bernardino County schools. And for mathematics, they were number two and number two on distance from standard and percent proficient among the DOS schools in San Bernardino County. Our Riverside County school, Audeo Valley, up in Moreno Valley, they were number one in ELA distance from standard, number three in percent proficient, and they were number two in both distance from standard and percent proficient among the DOS schools in Riverside County. Now we're talking about our internal measure and the actual progress our students are making. And so there's a nationally normed test put out by the called MAPS, Measures of Academic Progress, put out by the Northwest Education Association. So this is used by millions of students across the United States every year. And what happens is students take a baseline assessment in the early fall to assess their current skill level. And then they take it again in the spring. So the national norm would be a 50%, essentially the median, 50% of students exceeding the target. And the target is established by the national norms of what is the average growth that a student in each grade level, each age would make depending on their starting point. And so the national norm for growth would be 50%. We set an LCAP goal and an MOU goal of 60%. And so, you know, each year in reading, each of our schools has exceeded that 60% target of the students who took that in the fall and the spring, meeting or exceeding the growth target in reading. Every year, the students have met or exceeded at all the schools the growth target in language. And in mathematics, each of the last 3 years, each school has met or exceeded the growth target in math, with 2023 results actually being the highest overall, you know, collectively that we have made in the percentage of students reaching the math target. So you can see the contrast. This reflects the students where they were when they came to us and us helping them grow, as opposed to the dashboard measure that simply reflects in terms of being at the grade level standard in distance.
Mm-hmm. And that goes to your question, Admiral Herring. We thought it would be best to give a broad view of all ALTA schools, but I'm sure you're looking at the schools you represent, Adeo 1 and CSSD, which are exceptional.
She's 78% in mathematics at Adeo and 76% at CSSD, actually the two highest performing in 2023 in the students meeting the MAPS math goals. So another dashboard measure is English learner progress. This is there's a state test for English students who are English learners called the LPAC. And the LP is based on two consecutive years of results, essentially measuring whether students who are learning English are making progress. On the dashboard, you'll only receive a status if a school has both in two consecutive years 30 or more students. And so only two of the ALTA schools had over 30 English learners in both years. You can see both schools are in the median performance band for this measure, which is between 45 and 55%. But because of showing an improvement, Charter School of San Diego was able to move from yellow to green, whereas one of the other schools, because even though they were still in the median band, because of a decline, move from yellow to orange. And again, with some of the smaller ALTA schools, this is another example of a single student moving that metric in one direction or another because of the number of students in that cohort. Now, this is the percentage for ALTA schools. All the schools have a percentage result as long as they have at least 11 or more English learners in the measure. And so when you look at our schools in terms of the percentage of students hitting the LP, we had the among the top performers in their counties. You can see that, you know, Adeo Charter and Charter School of San Diego, each, if you exclude other Alta schools, would have been in the top three in San Diego County in terms of the percentage of English learners meeting that target of moving up a level of English proficiency from year to year. And you can see that exceeds, far exceeds the San Diego County and statewide percentage of students meeting that improvement in English proficiency on the LP. Next, I'm going to talk a little bit about the graduation rate. The graduation rate on the dashboard, there was a change in 2022. From 2017 to 2019, there was a DOS one-year graduation rate, which is what the state measure that was used on the dashboard. But the Federal Education Department rejected California's use of that measure, and they wanted they required all schools on the state accountability system to use the same 4- and 5-year measure. This measure is what we would see, the public would see on our dashboard for graduation rate, but it really does not align with our setup and setting. The reason for this is if you look on the state's 4- and 5-year graduation rate, you see that 67.9% or below is low. And of course, well, yes, that sounds reasonable. But what this doesn't reflect and what the public wouldn't know is the state excludes students who are still working with the school and still enrolled. And even more importantly, for our setting, it excludes our students who complete a HICET or a state equivalency. And we, you know, enroll students who are at 17 or 18 years old and still freshmen with credits. And they enrolled with us specifically because we can work with them to support their building their skills and preparing them for those state equivalency assessments, but the state does not include the students who successfully complete that goal, which they enrolled specifically to achieve with us on this measure. And so just please be aware of that. If anyone were to ask you that, that is one of the reasons why we're essentially set up in a position to not really be able to reach the dashboard on this. However, what we use, what reflects our performance in support of our students, and what is in our MOUs continues to be the DOS one-year graduation rate, which does reflect the students who successfully completed, you know, by any avenue, you know, their high school diploma or equivalency. The state has not yet released the 2023 file. They've indicated early 2024, but I keep harassing the CDE folks and they keep saying not yet. But we do have internal projections. Historically, our internal projections are usually within about 1% accuracy. And so this year, our final projections are that each school would exceed 90% on their one-year DOS graduation rate. And so, you know, that would be for CSSD, that would be 2 consecutive years over 90%. For same with Adeo, that would be over 2 consecutive years over 90%. You can see the consistency of improvement across the years. Back in the prior years that have color, that was when we still had that as the official dashboard measure that stopped in 2022 and 2023. That's why they don't have colors there. But this is what's built into the MOUs. And so we've consistently, the state and county have consistently been in the 60s and 70s, and our schools are in the 90s. So which really reflects our success with supporting students to graduation and completion. For context, again, this looks at all the schools in San Diego County in the areas, either in the who share an authorizer or share the geographic area where we operate. And so for the most recent year that the state has released, 21-22, you can see that we have the top 4 schools, including Adeo Charter and Charter School San Diego in the county, in the areas we serve. And all of our schools are up there towards the top. And you know, far exceeding what's in orange, which is the San Diego County average, excluding Alta schools. Likewise, our San Bernardino County school in the geographic area of the Victor Valley they serve is the top performing DOS school, far exceeding the San Bernardino County DOS average. And our Riverside County school is right there. Riverside County is actually the highest performing county among DOS schools, but we are right there in the middle, over 90% and exceeding the Riverside County DOS average for the DOS one-year graduation rate. Next, I'm going to talk just briefly about College and Career Indicator. College and Career Indicator is the only measure that was not back to status and change. They only reached status level. This is one where we have pathways whereby students have the opportunity to achieve this through any of the state's pathways. But we find that the areas where our students most often elect to complete this is through smarter balance assessments. That's one of the ways. Through completing the university, we call it University of California A to G requirements, through college credits, or to a lesser degree, but some students through the AP exams, leadership, military science, and CTE. So you can see on this year, it was status only. So we had six schools, including ADEO and CSSD in the low band and two in the very low. And you can see for the low band, that's 10 to 35% of students meeting College and Career Indicator. But we really want to highlight the fact that when you compare from the last year data was available for this measure, which was 2019, compared to this year, each one of our schools showed an improvement. Across Altus, we showed a 3.7% improvement, going up to 12.4%, which while we continue to pursue avenues and supporting students to increase achievement in this measure, we are about triple the rate of the other DOS schools, students in the state and the county on this measure. And we want to show the areas where we've had the improvement. So we went from 115 to 147 students who had met the college and career readiness. That was an increase of 28%. You can see that the areas where we increased the most were students completing with A to G completion. And the highest percentage is college credit courses, and which we achieved through articulation and dual enrollment. We've had significant progress here. And we expect to continue to have this progress because a student who takes a college course as a sophomore or junior, it doesn't show up until they get to their senior year. So this is a measure that sometimes reflects a 1 and 2 year delay of the interventions that you implement because you have to wait till the student gets all the way through their high school career and reaches graduation, even though the items that you see on this list, they were working on these throughout high school. It's just you don't see it in the measure until it culminates in their complete being graduates. And then finally, we want to share for our LCAP survey, and for students feeling safe and supportive environment, this aligns to that suspension rate I shared earlier. We continue to have both students and parents, 98 to 100% of them, reporting that the school is safe and supportive. And, we always love to share this metric with our teachers, but we have, 95 to 100% of students, reporting their, and parents sharing that they're highly satisfied with our teachers. So I know that's a lot to digest. I'm available if you have any questions, but that is the end of my presentation.
Nice metric.
Thanks, Aaron. That was great.
Thanks.
Thank you, Aaron. That's lots of figures to digest.
Oh, that's that's just a few.
But it's good to see that the numbers by percentage in characterizing between others are so low, and that you are at the top of the list, not even in the middle for most parts. That's quite an accomplishment.
Well as we do in terms of bringing students forward, there are areas where it isn't a great consolation to be the top of a very sad situation. So math across the country, it's just is not turning around, certainly not in the county. And even though we can demonstrate that we are, doing great things in terms of bringing kids forward and just kind of helping them out of the pit, nonetheless, I could use the word crisis in terms of many areas relating to the traditional environment. And they're certainly doing all that they can, and there's many, many factors, but or they're trying to do as much as they can. But of course, funding is a major deal and continues to be teacher accountability, which we have teacher accountability here. As you know, our scorecards are a critical part of what we do. Professional development is absolutely key. No matter how educated your people are, and we have very educated people, ongoing professional development is very, very important. And attracting the best to the teaching profession, absolutely critical, absolutely critical. And here, of course, we're very selective. All the teachers that you see on the screen have gone through a very stringent process to even be hired. And most of them have been retained for a very, very long time. So there are many factors, but I think it's important to realize that it's an ongoing challenge. And we're like a cork on the ocean. We respond to the environment, and where we see a great need, then we hone in on that, and we're able to help a handful of students in the county and in the state. So are there any questions or comments from the board?
No, good job. Just keep up the good work. I was just talking to the president of my college, and he and along with many of the State University of New York Science presidents are having an extremely difficult time finding candidates for their science programs. And what they're having to do in some cases is they have a year, basically their first year is remedial math. And he said the percentage rate of individuals who are then eligible to proceed is significantly smaller than they've ever experienced. So the scientific community of American students is going to have a tremendous shortfall, because students just simply are not prepared to take on the college level mathematics necessary to be in a science program. He said it's just, and they don't know what to do. They simply do not know what to do. But the number of foreign students who are applying in the program and being accepted immediately have almost doubled in the last 5 years.
There's a lot of challenges facing us. Finding science teachers, of course, is a universal issue. And many schools, I think, make the mistake of hiring science professionals and assuming because they're research people that they can come in and teach a class. There's an art of teaching, and
Yeah, I have one of those.
that's why our yes, I had one of those too. Our teachers, my grandchildren actually have couple of those themselves. So we spend a great deal of time in offering professional development to our teachers to help them, whether or not that was their single area of expertise, to help them in working specifically with students in a teaching capacity, which again is different from being a scientist. So any number of things, but we keep up with the data, and the data informs absolutely everything that we do. So, thank you for that. Our next report is the LCAP report, which comes from Tim. Tim, could you take us through that? And again, thank you for your patience, but at some point, you need to be aware of what's happening with your organizations. Tim?
Yes, thank you, Mary. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen here in a second. I've got two presentations because we need to do separate presentations for one for Alta Schools Aldeo and one for Alta Schools Charter School San Diego. And this is a new requirement for the LCAP this year, but it's the same LCAP as you approved in June, but there's just a requirement this year by law for a mid-year update. So I'm going to talk through that, but let me just go ahead and share my screen to get set up. One second. Okay. I get a thumbs up if you can see that. All right, so this is the report on Alta Schools Audeo. Just a reminder, the local control accountability plan is an annual plan that we are required to develop and adopt every year. It outlines goals, priorities, and actions. We have this posted on our website for the public to view as well, and is typically approved by the board in June. It's about 150 pages long, so it's quite extensive. It was originally designed 7-8 years ago to kind of be an easy way for the public to understand how the funds were used to, you know, to run the educational program of school districts and charter schools, but it's become quite complicated over the years as they've added requirements. So if you look through it, it's quite a lot to take in, for especially for parents that are trying to figure it out. But essentially, we have to adopt this every year. This year, it's a new requirement to do a mid-year report. And this is collaboratively designed. So a lot of our educational partners, teacher staff, students, parents, community members have an opportunity to give input throughout the year on how we address the questions in the LCAP. And then specifically, we have to develop actions and services for three groups that the state has defined as having unique needs. It's English learners, low-income students, and foster students. The low-income does include homeless students as well. So in our LCAP, you'll see that there's specific services pulled out for them. As I mentioned, Senate Bill 114 is new. It added the requirement of a mid-year LCAP. We have to just do a report by February 28th, which is today, at one of our governance meetings. So this report just specifically covers some of the outcome data, some of the metrics that are in the LCAP, and actually there's quite a bit of overlap with Aaron's presentation, so I won't spend too much time on that. And then they're just kind of an update of expenditures to date of what we've spent our funds on for these actions and services. So, and I know this presentation is your new board packet, so if you've looked at it, this might be redundant information for you. But just to recap, our LCAP does have 5 goals. The first one's around personalized education to increase student engagement. Second one's around providing a broad and rigorous course of study to align to our state standards. Goal 3 is about professional learning systems, so that we're providing our staff high quality professional development that's data driven. Goal 4 is around a safe and supportive environment. And goal 5 is innovative, engaging community-based resource centers. So that's the 5 goals. For a school district, you have 1 LCAP. For the whole district, no matter how many schools you have, for a charter school, you have to do an LCAP separately for each charter school. But you'll see some similarities with Audeo and Charter School San Diego. So goal 1, summary. This is the personalized education plan. Each student has their each individual plan. Some of the key actions and services, looking at how we're monitoring student learning, providing that each individual pathways personalized education plan for students, and then a series of supports and interventions, depending on how successful a student is doing, what type of strategies we implement. So the goal 1 really focuses around that individual plan for each student. And one of the key metrics is the participation. We report out this at every board meeting. So far, we're doing really well this year. All of our student groups are exceeding the LCAP goal of 84% for Audeo. You can see some really high numbers there. If there's not a number, there's asterisks, it's because there's less than 11 students. So typically the state doesn't report out on small numbers of students for confidentiality reasons. But overall, participation's doing great across the board. Another key metric for the goal 1, chronic absenteeism, as Aaron reported. Right now, we don't have any of our K-8 students at Audeo that are between July and December that are looking to be chronically absent. So the lower the number here, the better. So that's good to see. Some additional metrics. 100% of all Audeo teachers are appropriately credentialed. We have a 0% dropout rate for our middle school students right now. Currently, high school students, it's about 0.5%. And then 96% of the Audeo students have indicated they're gaining confidence within the first 90 days of enrollment. Part of the requirement of the LCAP is to align it with the state priorities. There are 8 state priorities. You'll see a few of them listed there underneath those metrics. Those 8 state priorities are basic, which means you have a school, you have teachers, you have a facility. Priority 2 is that you're aligning the state standards. Priority 3 is that you have parent family engagement. Priority 4 is student engagement. Priority or student achievement. Priority 5 is student engagement. Priority 6 is school climate. Priority 7 is course access. And priority 8 is pupil outcomes. So we just put those in there just to make the connection with the alignment as required by the state. So some of our expenditures there are listed for goal 1. Our instructional team works really closely with the finance department to make sure that when we develop the LCAP at the end of the year, the funds are planned for and designed. So the FAR, right column shows our mid-year expenditures, and then the column before that, the total funds budgeted. In the middle, you'll see a column that says contributing, and that indicates that that goal and action is specific for those 3 groups of students, the English learner, low income, and foster. And so that kind of shows a difference for some of those specific action plans for those groups and the funds that we spend on those. So we're on target with goal 1 with our expenditures. Goal 2, quick summary there, that broad and rigorous course of study. Some of our key actions and services are, we have our Pathways Advisory Council, where our teachers are working in departments developing curriculum and instructional strategies for all of our staff to use. We have A to G and NCAA approved course offerings. So we develop those courses with those requirements in mind, and then get those approved by those groups. We also have accelerated honors and AP courses for students to take, a lot of career technical education, and then the college, early college credit program. So part of those key actions and services with goal 2 are listed there. Some of the metrics that we look at, we have 11, and it's simply one of the metrics is simply offering 11 career pathways. And so you'll see the list. We've added to that list over the years. We're now up to 11 career technical education career pathways. So if students want to take courses in any of those areas and then a capstone project, they would get that CT pathway certification. But it provides our students an opportunity to really see a glimpse into what a career in that area would look like. Part of the metrics is also make sure all students have access to all of these courses. And so that's why our teachers work really hard to make sure that students and parents know what's available to them and that they've developed that plan specific to their needs. And then it's high quality, and that we report that regularly so that our students are aware of what's available to them. Some additional goal metrics for goal 2. All of our instructional materials are standards aligned. 10 years ago when California was adopting some Common Core standards, it took many years to kind of get to rewrite courses and get those to meet those standards. And then the state does update them on a regular basis, so that Altus Pathways Advisory Council works towards revising courses on a regular basis to make sure that they are standards aligned. Students have access to all these courses. We're not only letting certain kids take certain courses. No, they're available to all of them. We're promoting college and career pathways. We're promoting AP, and that all of our courses are Common Core state standards aligned. So we're doing well with these metrics with the LCAP for goal 2. A few more, specifically science, ELA, social science, 100% of our core courses being approved from the UC A to G system. That our CTE courses are following the career technical education model curriculum standards, and that we have a work experience education program. We just got that recertified by the CDE recently. Catherine Rambo, her work, got that approved. So all of our curriculum is up to speed in terms of meeting standards. Students and parents have access to all of it. Teachers are trained on it. They're developing this curriculum. So we're doing well with the metrics of goal 2, and you can see the expenditures for this particular goal, and we're on target with meeting meeting the total budgeted funds so far with Goal 2. Goal 3 summary, this is the professional development. Some of our key actions and services is our Altus University system, where we have a school within a school for our staff pretty much 4 days a week, virtual or on in person, or taking courses based upon their needs and what helps them be successful in their job. This is both for instructional staff and office staff. We have a leading edge certification, so our staff becomes as strong educators in terms of virtual teaching. We have a very robust executive studies and fellows program where we're, teachers and staff members that are interested in leadership are partnering with members of the leadership team and developing projects and reporting out on that regularly so we can help develop our next cohort of leaders. We have a youth mental health first aid training program where we have therapists and health nurses that are working with our students and staff towards helping them with their health needs. And then the CTE and early college credit program do a lot of training for staff there as well. So a lot going on with professional development. Some of the metrics that we look at, English learners, primarily we have a department dedicated towards helping those students, and we offer a number of programs throughout the year. We want to make sure that they're satisfied with those trainings and that our parents and students are satisfied as well with their educational environment here. Some of the mid-year expenditures, we're on target as well with Goal 3, looking at the professional development for our staff and our students. Goal 4, this summary is about safe and supportive environment. Some key actions and services here. We have an executive safety committee that meets on an ongoing basis. We have a very robust student safety plan, which you'll be reviewing and approving later today. Our resource centers, each resource center has a safety ambassador that's in charge of facilitating the safety of the resource centers and bringing the most recent information in to make sure that we're meeting all the requirements and keeping everybody safe. We have our healthy youth department, our therapists and professionals that are working towards helping mental health. And then our character and leadership development program, commonly known as a cadet corps, working with our staff and students towards helping provide that type of training. Some of the metrics with Goal 4, we really look at suspensions, expulsions. Audeo only had one suspension this year, zero expulsions. We do survey our parents and on safety satisfaction coming so far with high marks there, and that our safety plan is updated annually and meets the needs of our educational partners and it's compliant. And so we do submit our safety plan every year to our authorizers and they give us feedback on it as well. And then we are on target with our mid-year expenditures for Goal 4. The last goal, Goal 5, this is about providing innovative, engaging, community-based resource centers. Some of our key actions and services here are family learning series, where we're providing a series of trainings and informational sessions to students and parents on an ongoing basis. We have a new online system called Parent Square to notify parents and students and staff members of updated information, how they can continue to engage and communicate with our staff. We have an annual college and career week where we're bringing in professionals and college experts towards providing information around different careers and college options for our students. Open houses in the fall, senior nights in the spring, and then we've been working the last few years on trying to develop a robust alumni community where we're communicating with our alumni on information that would be pertinent to them on an ongoing basis. So a lot going on with this goal and the metrics we look at. There's a state definition of good repair. Are they safe? Are they clean? And so all of our facilities have the highest rating. Are we providing parental involvement opportunities for English learners and special education? And we have a variety of ways in which we do that. Ongoing community-based partnerships, we have 26. We provide 7 family learning series for the parents and guardians. And then we ask them, to give us feedback in terms of, are the resource centers, are we providing innovative learning opportunities for students? We're getting good feedback there as well. The last expenditure report here for this goal, we're on target to meet our expenditures based upon the total budgeted funds for Goal 5. And then overall, you can see what we spent year to date for these 5 goals. And then specifically, the second bullet is those on those 3 groups, the English learners, low income, which include homeless, and foster students. So we're on target there. Just a quick summary, based upon the feedback and our interactions, both in person and by surveys, we're getting good marks in terms of satisfaction of the progress of the LCAP actions expenditures. Our outcomes are strong, as indicated by Aaron in the report here. And we're open to suggestions, comments, and thank you for your ongoing support. And that concludes the update for Audeo. I'm going to transition to Charter School San Diego, and feel free to ask any questions. Do you have any? All right. Charter School San Diego, Alta Schools, Charter School San Diego, mid-year update. You see a lot of similarities here because our goals are very similar. It helps us to align with our schools to make sure we're all on the same page. Again, the LCAP, this is a requirement for this year where we are required to do a mid-year update. And there's no subscribe template or anything to use, but typically it's just a PowerPoint report is what a lot of folks are doing. So this specifically is required to include some of the metrics and then also the expenditures. Here's the 5 goals again. Goal 1, the personal education plan. Goal 2, that broad and rigorous course of study. Goal 3, the professional learning. Goal 4, safe, supportive environment. And goal 5, the innovative, engaging resource centers out there for students' access. Again, some of the summaries here, that personalized education plan that we're providing, it has a lot of systems in place to monitor student learning, a lot of multi-tiered systems of supports or those different levels of engagement strategies and interventions we're doing with students based upon their progress. You can see here, the numbers are a little different with Charter School San Diego because it's a much larger school. But pretty much everyone is, the groups are a little bit larger. So you see a few more filled in here. The everyone's doing great with participation. The only group that's a little below where we'd like to see is a pregnant parenting. But sometimes those folks are absent or needing to spend time with their little ones. So it's a little bit more of a challenge to get them above the 84% goal here. But there's just a few differences with the data. But overall, folks are doing pretty good with participation. Chronic absenteeism. So this metric, everybody's pretty low, but you'll see that there are a few additional numbers so far for ELs are probably our highest group right now. And this is just KA students, but overall, school-wide, it's 3%. Our LCAP goal is less than 10%, so we should be on target to beat that. Some of the additional metrics for goal 1, teachers appropriately assigned. We do have a couple intern teachers this year, and they will become fully credentialed, so you'll see that number jump from 93 to 100 pretty soon. We have no dropouts for middle school, 1 or 2 for high school so far this year, and then about 94% of students have indicated their significant gain of confidence within the first 90 days. Expenditures for goal 1, here we're pretty much on target for where we want to be at this point in the year. It's what we budgeted and what we're spending. Again, that middle column contributing is our specific goals and actions that are specific to those 3 groups, English learners, low income, which includes homeless and foster, which is required by the LCAP. And then goal 2 summary, that broad and rigorous course of study. We have that Altus Pathways Advisory Council, pretty robust offerings that includes UCA to G approved courses, NCAA approved courses, AP honors, CTE, and early college, so they're doing that concurrent enrollment. Some of the metrics we're also looking at providing 11 career pathways. Also that everybody has access, it's high quality, and it's ongoing reporting. The data is required by the state. additional metrics for Goal 2, that all of our materials are aligned to standards. Everybody has access to it. We're really focusing on that college and career pathways towards engaging students towards a post-secondary life, AP courses, Common Core state-aligned courses.
That hey, Tim.
Yes.
Can I ask, and this is, I'm currently serving on an NSC chair, NSC council, but is there a reason why military service is not included in your list?
Military service, elaborate on that, I guess, for courses that are in high school.
Go back to another slide, one more. Career pathways, you have all of those different that are there, but there's military service is not one of them.
Let me double check on that. These career technical education pathways, I don't know if there's one that California has for military. Catherine, are you on? Do you know that answer? She may not. I can get back to you on that. I know with the career tech education and the state kind of has with San Diego specifically or Southern California, and military is obviously a very big employer here, so I could see that. They provide you guidance in terms of like which areas kids would have would help meet the need of the demand of the jobs in that area. So we've taken that as part of our work towards including areas of the CT pathways, but I'll have to get back to you
path. It's just one of those things that kind of hit home when you take a look at these opportunities for high school students, especially are at risk and get into an environment. And then they realize that military service provides tremendous opportunities for many of them that aren't going to hit in any of these, including housing and food and you name it. And we're missing the mark.
We do have students that we will work with towards going directly into the military. And a lot of those kids do take our leadership development with the Cadet Corps classes that are specific, right. But I'm not sure with these CT, these are defined by the state. I need to check if the military is included on that.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me the state of California.
Excuse me. I just got a hold of Catherine because I thought we covered it. And we do. It's under public safety. So military service is part of the public safety. That's where it is. It isn't called out as military service, but it's part of public safety. She's at a WASC. She's evaluating another school. So I had to catch her there. But she said, yes, it is. And I said, I don't see it. And she said, well, it's under public safety. I said, okay.
Well, so, the Army missed the mark by 22,000, maybe missed the mark by 17,000. So we have to figure out how to get there from there.
Or call it out as a separate one.
Yes.
I don't know that it has to be under public safety. I assume that that's recommended under the CTE career paths, but they certainly couldn't ding us, I wouldn't think, for calling it out separately. We'll look into that, Admiral. It's a good suggestion.
No. Okay. So we talked about that. Expenditures for Goal 2. We're on target there as well. So that's good. Goal 3, this is the professional learning system, Altus University, that leading edge certification, executive studies. Mental health supports, CTE, and college, early college credit training for staff are some of the specific ones we're working on this year. That includes a lot of English learner support for our staff and students. Then satisfaction levels are reported are pretty high, which is good to see. Report expenditures for Goal 3, we're on target there as well, towards meeting those total budgeted funds. Goal 4, safe environment. So safety committee, safety plan, resource safety ambassadors, healthy youth department, character and leadership development, some of our key actions services this year. Some of the metrics we're looking at, that Charles San Diego has zero suspensions, zero expulsions. So far, their LCAP surveys are reporting high levels of satisfaction with safety for students and parents, and that our, you know, the updated safety plan is an ongoing priority. Expenditures to date as well, we're on target there, so that's good to see. So we should be, have no problem with full implementation. And then the last goal, goal five, this is an innovative, engaging, community-based resource centers. Some of our key action services this year, we're working on family learning series, parent square implementation, college and career week, open house, senior nights, alumni support. And some of the metrics we're looking at are listed there. Facilities are in good shape, a lot of opportunity for parental involvement for English learners and special ed specifically, 29 community-based partnerships for Charleston San Diego, 7 family learning series, and good reports in terms of feedback on other resource centers. And expenditures for this last goal also on target, so we shouldn't have a problem with meeting the total budgeted funds for these actions and services. Overall, year to date, we've spent a little over $9.4 million on these, and $2.9 million of it are with those three groups, English learners, homeless, which are low income, which include homeless and foster. Summary, overall, we're on target. So engagement is strong, and happy to answer any questions that you may have. And that concludes my report for both Adeo and Charleston San Diego.
No, great. Interesting mid-year, and still doing extremely well towards projected. Glad to see it.
It should be obvious. Am I on? Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It should be obvious, I think, from our reports that when we think of the school, we think of the classroom. And although there's a tremendous amount of work and energy that goes into the classroom, I always describe the organization as being kind of an outer shell. There's a tremendous amount of work that happens, not only in the assessment and in the collection of data, but in working to be sure that the data fully informs what's happening within the classroom. So the work is both within the classroom and all the many people that are working outside the classroom to support it. And I really commend them because they do an excellent job of supporting the classrooms. If I was teaching again, I'd love to teach in one of our classrooms. It'd be good fun, I think.
Okay. Anything else? Any other comments from board members? Okay, we're going to move on to item 5.5, strategic plan update, 5.5.1, school productivity indicators. 1.1 is Altus schools, Odeo charter schools, 5.1.1.1, school participation report for period 2023-24, months 5 through 7. And then 55 or 5.5.1.2 is the Altus schools, charter schools, San Diego. 5.5.1.2.1, the school participation report for period 23-24, months 5 through 7. Tim, is there a staff report for this particular item?
Just to summarize for Adeo, and these are participation reports, so attendance for us, July 1 of 2023 through January 12, 2024, the latest reports. So pretty much the first half of the year. So far, Adeo is coming in overall based upon enrollment at 98.3%. So out of 100, they're doing really well. That's an increase of 3.2% from last year at this time. And Charter School San Diego, their participation on enrollment is 91.9%, which is an increase of 2.4% over last year. So strong numbers in terms of participation for both schools. So it's good to see.
Great. Anything else, Mary?
No.
Okay, moving on to item 6.0, consent agenda. All matters listed under the consent agenda are considered by the board to be routine and will be approved and enacted by the board in one motion in the form listed below, unless specifically requested by a board member for further discussion or be removed from the agenda, and there will be no discussion on these items prior to the board's vote on it. The superintendent, school services, and founder recommends approval of all consent agenda items. Is there any comments from members of the board? Okay, 6.1 is the consent action items for all the schools and all the charter schools. 6.1.1 is consider approval of the board minutes from December 7th, 2023. And then 6.1.2 is consider approval of amendments to the board policies, which were on page 95 through 445. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved, Morton.
Well, any discussion? Hearing none, do I have a second? Do I have a second?
Second, Schweinfurter.
Thank you. We now have a roll call for vote. Myself, aye. Scott is excused. David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Thank you. Moving on to action to item 7.0, action items for Alter Schools and Rodeo Charter Schools. 7.1.1 is consider approval of the Comprehensive School Safety Plan for 2023-24, found in pages 446 through 72. Tim, is there a staff report for 7.1.1?
Just simply pages 446 to 702. It's a lot of pages. It's based upon the template and guidance provided by the state of California. So we're meeting the requirements there. We update it every year based upon best practices and what we learn. Any new trainings that we do, we include on there as well. So we don't post a safety plan on our website. We just post that you approve it on the date that you do, because it does talk about some sensitive things in terms of our facilities and access points and things like that. So it's updated. Just appreciate your approval.
Okay. Mary, anything else?
Yeah, no.
Nothing? Okay. Do I have a motion for approval of item 7.1.1?
Motion to approve, Schweinfurter.
Thank you. Any discussion? May I have a second?
Green seconds that.
Thank you. We will now conduct a voting roll call. Myself, aye. Scott is excused. David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Very well. Moving on. Action 8.0, action items. Actions of items for Alta School Odeo. Consider approval of the annual update for the local control and accountability plan and local control funding formula. Budget overview. Tim, thanks for the presentation. I think we've got all that. Mary, is there anything else you need to add?
No, I just your approval.
Very good. Do I have a motion for the approval of item 8.1.1?
Motion to approve, Schweinfurter.
Thank you, Eric. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, may I have a second?
Morton, second.
Thank you. We'll vote for roll call for vote. Myself, aye. Scott is excused. David?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
Moving on to item 8.2. 8.2.1 is consider approval of the annual update to the local control and accountability plan for the local control and accountability formula. Budget overview for the Alta Schools Charter School of San Diego. Tim, thank you for the presentation. We have all the information. Mary, is there anything you need to add?
Nothing other than good job to teaching and learning.
Yeah.
Implementing the LCAP.
Okay, great. Do I have a motion to approve item 8.2.1?
Motion to approve, Green.
Very well. Any discussion? Hearing none, may I have a second?
Second, Morton.
Very well. We now conduct a roll call for a vote. Myself, aye. Scott is excused. David?
Aye.
Eric?
Aye.
Tim?
Aye.
Moving on to item 9.0, board announcements and comments. From time to time, the board has topics of interest that they would like to share with the community. These are informational in nature and do not require any action. I will just give one notice for everyone, this reminder that we have a special board meeting on Thursday, March the 7th at 8:30 a.m. Please mark your calendar accordingly. Anybody have anything else?
Thank you.
Go ahead, Mary.
Thank you to everyone for your time.
You bet. I was going to say the same thing. Thank you for the time. And more importantly, I truly do appreciate staff's diligent efforts in keeping us informed. But recognizing just how much work it takes to do all of that, which came in the folder, and keep that stuff up to date and consistent with the requirements.
So many people. And,
well
and
done.
We can't forget Angela, too, who brings it all together for us.
I realize that even at the teacher's level, keeping track of all that per student and having to go through of it and just everything else that goes into it is just amazing. So well done. Okay, moving on to item 10. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved, Morton.
Any discussion? Been more than enough this morning. Do I have a second?
Second, Schweinfurter.
Thank you. Well, now I have a vote for roll. Myself, or a roll for vote. Myself, aye. David is excused, or Scott is excused. David?
I'm not excused, so I'll say aye.
Okay. Tim?
Aye.
And Eric?
Aye.
We have an unanimous. And that will end the meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great job, Alice's team. It's always impressive to see your work.
You bet.